was wondering what would be of interest to us all in this new year. Well, one thing that came to mind for me was take a little peek into heaven. Now, we're going through a lot. We're experiencing a lot here as believers on earth, and we all have our responsibilities, and we're all individuals. We all have problems, and some of us have sicknesses. We're limited. But yet the Lord God, in His wisdom, gives us a little peek into what's going to happen to us in the future. So I want you to turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Revelation, chapter 22. Now, we know this book of Revelation is full of many symbols. Some of them are not easy to understand or to grasp. But when you're talking about eternal realities, it's difficult to put it into words. But in these first five opening verses of chapter 22, we get a little insight into heaven. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now, this is a vision that is beyond our scope, in a sense. It encompasses so much and so much depth. These opening verses give us a symbolic vision of heaven that demands our attention. Each believer in the Lord Jesus Christ will be there, because he promises his disciples in John 14:3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Let me just pause for a moment. These are astonishing words. Mary, we were born into this life. We have choices to make. We are who we are. Each of us is different. We have different backgrounds, different faces. We're all one in Christ. We've all been brought to the gospel. And our lives have been changed drastically. The dimensions of our living are not the same. And we have a place to go to at the end of our journey that's prepared for us. He's gone before us. That where he is, there we may be also. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:48-49, that as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as he is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall bear the image of the heavenly man. You know, we'll continue to be together and different. We're going to bear the image of the heavenly man. Well, that should encourage us, in spite of what's happening to us, in spite of the circumstances of life, whatever crosses our path, this is temporary. We're going to bear the image of the heavenly man someday, and it could be very soon. The idea of being different from one another, though being in a new body, is illustrated for us by the opening vision of the water of life and the throne of God and the Lamb. The water of life is the Holy Spirit, as described by John in his Gospel, chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, then come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This Spirit flows from the throne of the sovereign Lord God the Father, and his Son who is seated at his right hand, the Lamb who has taken away the sins of the world, the three in one, different in themselves, but the one Godhead. And so our attention in heaven will be focused on the God who loves us, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will be flowing, I like this, flowing. There's an ecstasy here. There's a movement here. Heaven is going to be full of movement and ecstasy. And each one of us will be part of this movement and ecstasy. There'll be no dullness. There'll be no self-unworthiness. We're going to be dynamic in relationship to a holy God, to the holy God. And the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to flow and give us insight, direction, and understanding. It's going to clarify our thoughts. He bears witness even today to our spirit that we are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit is going to be working in such a beautiful, creative, ongoing, everlasting way, and we should be grateful. And this is going to continue in eternity. The Lord God will be with us. The flowing Spirit will always be ready to search all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man may know the things of God, a man, except the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. That's found in 1 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11. Now think of that for a moment. We were born into this world as human beings. We lived our lives, we're sinful human beings. We were limited in scope. We had no destiny. No plan. If you go to science, science gives you no answers about destiny or plan or relationships. It just says you're part of an ongoing atomic matter situation which has no meaning, no beginning, no end. It's helpless. It's empty. But not so with the child of God. When you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you received the Spirit of God. This same Spirit we're reading about in these chapters, this chapter 22 and this first verse. The Spirit of power and growth, magnificence. And we're all part of the family of God. We will be in that heavenly state, that heavenly life, that heavenly realm where we will be able to express fully our feelings, fully our understanding. Whatever country we've come from, whatever has been our experience, how much education we had or didn't have, we will be unique, each one of us, but we'll be able to express in terms that are magnificent, the glories of God and the Son and the Father. Spirit of God knows the things of God. And we will continue to discover. It's not the end. You know, it's difficult to talk about the eternal state. We are governed by time. We come, we go, things pass, we die. But in the eternal state, we'll be praising God, yes, but there will be constant movement, constant growth in our knowledge of the eternal God. And that'll be provided to us. He, the Spirit, is shown as a pure river of life, clear as crystal. Now I know we see through a glass darkly enough. Things can be muddied and foggy, and we don't quite grasp everything. But in heaven, there is going to be a crystallization that is pure, crystal clear. There are no doubts and no fears, no shame, no competition. I mean, it's going to be a state that boggles our minds. I mean, we're just trying to grasp how that pureness, how that crystal pureness is going to be provided for us in eternity with God. He is vibrant and moving, bringing newness to every thought and making our reality meaningful to us. When Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman in John 4:14, he said, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." I like that term, a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Now we have bad days. We have bad days when we can't seem to think straight or make the right decisions, and we're stumbling and we're awkward. What you think now will be changed. We'll have a new body, like unto the body of our Lord Jesus. And things will be crystal clear. And every once in a while, you have this experience as well. You get up and you'll see the dawn of a day and you'll just rejoice. Your heart feels wonderful, and you look and say, "This is a beautiful day. It's a beautiful sight." But these beautiful things, these beautiful days, will be constant forever. You will be conscious of beauty that is breathtaking and continual, and in dimensions in which we can grasp, because we will be changed, we will be different, we'll be better, it'll be outstanding. And I say this because as we approach this new year, we're going to be facing difficulties. We're going to lose loved ones. Some of our diseases will catch up to us, and we'll feel down a bit. What's ahead for us? What a wonder we are going to experience together in the presence of Almighty God, provided by the Holy Spirit's direction and help and crystal clearness. Jesus spoke to this woman about the water of life bubbling up. The heavenly saint will be in that wonderfully expressive new body in which we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18. From glory to glory. Can you imagine that? You might say, well, some of us don't quite think as quickly as others, and we can't seem to grasp everything we should. Not in those days. You'll get everything. Not only will you grasp and understand, but there will be a glory to glory, just as this, by the Spirit of the Lord. If the flowing, crystal clear water flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb is the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the glorified saints, then the tree of life that embraces the river will also be a means of enhancing and renewing the ongoing transformations from glory to glory experienced by the saints. The tree of life will provide health to the nations abundantly and at intervals appropriate to their well-being. The thought of entering into a communion with God, where all that we esteem to be valuable will direct us to the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:18-19. It boggles our minds, doesn't it? All the knowledge of the fullness of God in a heavenly setting. We are grasping, many of us, trying to understand the Lord God that we love and trying to know Him, to know God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's an ongoing process with us. We're growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. But that day, there'll be a fullness. There'll be a wonder, the height and length, the depth, the breadth of the love of Christ. Oh, we've experienced His love. We know He loves us, and we love Him. But we will put it in terms that are breathtaking. Whatever our culture, whatever our background, whatever the color of our skin, how much education we've had, how little education we've had, each one of us, there will be a fullness of expression for each one of us, and an awareness of who God is, what He is like, and what we are to each other in eternity. After presenting such majestic symbols of the heavenly realm, the Apostle John writes, "And there shall be no more curse." Now, when we get to heaven, I'm not sure we're going to reflect back on our sins or the curse of what our sins have done. We know that cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. We know that the Lord Jesus bore the curse of our sins in His own body. We know that. But there in His presence, we won't be occupied. Oh, we'll see the wounds in His hands. And He's considered, in fact, this, John says, He's the Lamb. He's on the throne as the Lamb. Oh, we'll know He paid the price for our sins. We won't dwell on that. There'll be no curse there. We'll be living without curse. It's amazing. In these symbolic passages of Scripture, Verse 3 says that, and there shall be no more curse. He wants us to realize what we have to look forward to. We'll be living a new, no curse present life in heaven. But here, we can't help but bow our heads in adoration and appreciation to the Lord God. There is a day coming when we'll be living to our fullest potential without a curse. He wants his readers to reflect on the finished work of Christ at the cross. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, verses 11 to 18, says, "Therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and the strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope of without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." You know, we meet together in this fellowship of believers at Bethel. There's a oneness in our worship, a oneness in our faith, provided by God himself through the Spirit and his Word. And in heaven there will be such a feeling of oneness together in our worship and our service. There is no place for egotism, self-exaltation. When we are far off, we've been made children of God. We have access by one Spirit to the Father. Think of what it's going to be like in eternity. You know, in our life here amongst believers, sometimes we've been wronged by our fellow believers, those that we expect to find love and companionship. But things happen and people get upset. Maybe we do things differently and people get angry with it that we're not following exactly what they want. But there in heaven, because of the finished work of Christ on the cross, and because of the presence of the Holy Spirit, there'll be a oneness. In Psalm 23, David explained, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The curse destroyed our relationship with Yahweh. But the Lamb of God made peace through the blood of the cross so that the saints can enter his courts with gladness and serve him alone. They will not want. "The woe is me, for I am undone." Well, Isaiah 6:5 will never again be uttered by the redeemed of the Lord. The chorus of the old hymn by H.M. Hall poetically exclaims, "Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." verse 4. They shall see his face. This is probably one of the most precious moments of the children of God in all the experiences of heaven and earth. They shall see his face. Although we know from 1 Timothy 6:16 that God the Father dwells in an unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, we also know that the saints will be in resurrected bodies. The Lord Jesus will also be in a resurrected body with the scars of his crucifixion. The throne of God and the Lamb is where the Lord sits on his right hand, on the right hand of God the Father. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:6, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." We who see, who we see is Yahweh in all his magnificence. We have no words right now to really describe him. But I think it's on our lips. Maybe in the new year, it'll be on our hearts. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But in this passage, a wonderful, deep insight into heaven itself. Not only will the saints see God, they will also be sealed by him as his servants, with his name on their foreheads. They belong to him, and he will give them the freedom to dwell in his presence, to worship, and do whatever pleases him. You know, one can wonder why we don't have a detailed description of everything that's going to happen in heaven. Well, I think if we had that, we'd all want to be, or we wouldn't do anything here on earth anymore. We'd want to be right there in his presence and get away from all this misery. We have a work to do in this life, but we'll have things and wonders to perform while we're in his presence in heaven. The first statement of the final verse of the passage echoes what John said in chapter 21, 22 to 27. There shall be no night there. This passage also says in verse 27 that there shall be no means, by no means enter into anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie. In John 13, 26 to 30, Jesus has an encounter with Judas. He tells his betrayer, "What you do, do quickly." Judas left, and it was night. Everything is absolutely pure in the presence of God. The saints need no artificial light or planetary interaction to guide them in their enjoyment of the Lord God. He is their light. Jesus made that plain in John 8:12 when he said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And we live with artificial light, and we have light from the sun. But we'll experience a light that comes from God himself. A light that will enlighten our minds and our lives. It'll be precious. It'll be brilliant. It'll be satisfying. We want to see something of the light of the Lord Jesus in our lives this year. We're waiting for that day to come. But he is, for us now, here, the light of the world. And though we will be in his presence in that eternal light, he wants us to be lights in the world. Maybe we should make it a purpose for this new year, as an assembly, as individuals, to shine on the lost. You know, it's wonderful for us to talk about these wonderful things that are going to happen to us because we've trusted in the Lord Jesus. We will be in His presence. We'll have crystal clear grasp of reality. We'll be worshiping. We'll be serving our God in heaven. There are friends, family members, people in our community who are in darkness. And they will remain in darkness without hope unless we bring to them the good news of God's salvation through the Lord Jesus. You know, we don't like to make goals. Sometimes we can't keep the goals that we set. But maybe as an assembly, we enjoy each other's fellowship. We enjoy the worship we have together. Enjoy the ministry. We are so thankful for all that God has provided for each one of us. But maybe we need to get on our knees together as an assembly and look to the lost. Look to those who are without Christ, who have no hope, who have no Savior. All that we're going to enjoy in heaven is going to be magnificent. But remember, the lost are going to be in utter darkness forever, without hope, without God. All that we will enjoy, we will enjoy. Praise God for that. But we're still in our bodies. And we still have a responsibility to let our light shine. The Apostle John closes this section of the commentary of the heavenly scene with, "And they shall reign forever and ever." The saints will worship, will serve, and will reign. When I look back on my life and think about the first time I heard the gospel as a 12-year-old boy at the Medicine Lake Bible Camp in 1945, I had no idea that because I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I would have such a wonderful future in store for me with all those who love Him. The Epistle of Jude, verses 24 and 25, is our heart's response to what the Lord God has done. "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we marvel at Your greatness and Your love. We've accepted Your love. We've come to know You. There's a heaven waiting for each one of us, in all of its glory and majesty and power and beauty. But Father, as we start this new year, our heart's desire is to see others come to know You as their Savior. Others in the neighborhood, in our families, we want them to enjoy the glories of heaven, the new birth, the bubbling water, the flowing Spirit in their lives. And we pray, Father, that You will keep us alert. Keep us burdened for those who know not the Lord Jesus. Give us an outreach idea, how that we can be better witnesses together as an assembly, even as individual believers. We thank you for your love. We thank you for this new year. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your salvation. We give our thanks in your precious name. Amen.